Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back in. I am Clay Travis. He is Buck Sexton. We are rolling through the second hour now of the show here on a great Thursday. And the battle lines are really getting drawn in a big way as it pertains to Ron DeSantis against Joe Biden. The decisions made by the governor of Florida versus the decisions being made by Dr. Fauci and others in the Joe Biden administration. And so, as we went to break, I was talking about the fact, and I know, Buck, your brothers have spent a lot of time in Florida. We've got a monster audience in the state of Florida. We appreciate all of you. We know a lot of you have traveled down to Florida to get away from the draconian COVID restrictions that may have existed in your states, especially if you're on the East Coast or in the central part of the country. I'm headed down to Florida tomorrow. My wife, I almost blew the number here. I think our 17th wedding anniversary. And so congratulations to her on being able to last that long with me, which I think no one really anticipated. But we've got a place in Rosemary Beach, Florida, down there right on the Florida Gulf Coast. We spend a decent amount of time down there. In fact, when everything got locked down last year, we spent the month of May. Our kids were out of school. We just relocated and went to Florida for the month of May and lived a normal life. Ron DeSantis is under siege because he represents the last best hope right now of everyone out there who is trying to live a normal life, kids in school, sports going on, normalcy in America is represented right now by Florida. And if Florida falls in line with the New Yorks and the Californias of the world, then there suddenly is no control group to be able to compare COVID responses. Because right now, you look at the data, Buck, if you compare, let's say, Florida and Texas with New York and California, what you see is that the data reflects Florida and Texas have done a better job of managing COVID, both from a health and economy perspective, than New York and California have. But if Florida goes down and if they start masking and if they start restricting, which is what the White House wants, and I'll play Jen Psaki here, then there is no control group to be able to point out how much this is different and how little some of the responses matter. And suddenly we spiral into Australia. Play cut eight here, Jen Psaki on DeSantis.
Our war is not on DeSantis. It's on the virus, which we're trying to kneecap. And he does not seem to want to participate in that effort to kneecap the virus, hence our concern.
There you go, Buck.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He doesn't want to participate. He doesn't want to fight back against the virus. The things these Democrats say are so stupid and so dishonest at the same time. On MSNBC, they have people theorizing as though they're being brilliant that DeSantis doesn't care about children dying. All he cares about is MAGA, right? All he cares That's about right. is what the base tells him. And you reach this point where you just say there's something, and I mean this, emotionally and psychologically wrong with people that not only will say that, but will believe that. Obviously,
That's right.
Ron DeSantis doesn't want anyone to die from COVID. And beyond that, the fact that we even have to say this out loud, Ron DeSantis has done a better job than the comparable states run by Democrat governors throughout this. But here's the thing, Clay. They know that not only is DeSantis a challenge for the COVID control that they want, right? Not only is Florida this outlier as a major state, but beyond that, he's a challenge to the entire Democrat power apparatus for Biden or whomever's reelection effort in 2024. And so they're throwing everything they've got at this guy. They used to lie about the data sometimes. Remember, there was the woman, Rebecca Jones, I believe, who would just make stuff up out of their hiding data. It wasn't true at all. And now what they're doing is they're just trying to focus in, drill down on Florida, and get essentially local officials to defy state. Can you imagine if Fox News, let's say, or if we here on this show, we're advocating for cities in the state of New York to defy the state quarantine guidelines or mask mandates or whatever. People would have said that's lawlessness. That's nullification. That's exactly what they're doing in Florida right now, because it's never about what's right or what's fair. It's just about what they want and what gives them power.
And imagine how much different our COVID response would have been if Andrew Gillum, who only lost, I think, by 30,000 votes in 2018, had ended up losing to DeSantis. He would be running Florida right now, assuming that he was still in office and he hadn't had his ridiculous, you know, sex scandal that he had back around the Super Bowl, if I remember correctly. It would be a total mess. And what they're trying to do now is they are trying to use COVID to beat Ron DeSantis in 2022, because they know if DeSantis wins re-election in Florida in 2022, next year, he is going to be one of the top contenders for the White House. And I don't think there's anybody that the Democrats could run against him. He'll either be maybe Donald Trump's vice presidential candidate. I think there would be a good chance of that happening. Or if Trump decides to sit out the election, I think Ron DeSantis would have to be the substantial favorite to be the standard bearer right now. If you were buying stock in someone who was going to be elected in 2024, not named Donald Trump in the Republican Party, I don't think there's any doubt you'd have to go with Ron DeSantis.
Yeah, I mean, you could throw some other names in the mix. I actually think Mike Pompeo has more of a path and higher aspirations than often gets talked about. But nonetheless, what we're seeing here in Florida, Clay, is the all-out effort to just convince. They just have to get DeSantis to do what Texas did, because that was the problem with Texas. Governor Abbott initially went along with the mask mandates and the closures, and you know, it wasn't until what felt like the DeSantis miracle had occurred where you had a state that stayed open and gave sort of safe harbor for those who believe in freedom and living relatively normal lives during the major wave of the pandemic, the initial waves of the pandemic. Now you had Texas come out of it. But here, I mean, the Austin, Texas mayor, Steve Adler, talking about masks in schools.
The choices that people are making not to get vaccinated for themselves are not choices just for themselves. The choices that they're making to leave themselves more vulnerable for ending up in a hospital is impacting everyone. That's why it's important to especially protect our children. A parent can make a choice for their child, except that the choice that they make impacts everybody else in the classroom. And people should have a right to pick a choice to be able to be in a classroom that keeps their children the most safe. And we're going to do everything we can. We're going to, as we said from the very beginning, we're going to follow the doctors and the data. Even when we have a governor that seems to be following the donors and not the doctors.
This is the favorite talking point of totalitarian morons all across the country. We're not infringing on your choice. We're just following the data, as though they're not making a subjective judgment and often making predictive judgments about what that data tells them and suppressing contravening ideas or contradictory theses about what's really happening.
What's frustrating to me about this, and I want to play because this is emblematic of where we are. Let's play. I don't know how many of you guys have heard this, but let's play cut five. Oklahoma Public School Board member Linda Sexton in Norman, Oklahoma.
No relation.
Did you hear what she said?
No relation.
No relation. I think this is Buck's mom.
Buck's mom is on the school board. Take that back there, Travis. This is a fighting word, son. Back yourself up. There's no relation to this Linda Sexton lady.
Linda Sexton, the black sheep of the Sexton family. She's on the Oklahoma Public School Board in Norman, Oklahoma. This is crazy. Listen to what she said. This is not data. This is not science. This is not in any way being rational. These are who we are fighting with now. Listen to Linda Sexton.
It's just not okay for kids to commit murder by coming to school without a mask. And when it comes down to it, it's possible. They will cause a death of another child because they come to school without a mask.
Murderers!
It's possible you're going to cause a car accident. Every single time you get into a car, you might kill somebody by accident. So you're a murderer, Clay. I mean, we have seen people now get so crazy, so hysterical, that the basis of common law, of natural law, of morality, no law, these people have no, they're completely unmoored. They have no way of connecting with reality around them. You're a murderer if you go in?
It's a level of madness. And I just want to keep hammering home these data points because I think it's significant. 40,000, and again, you always have to say this. I used to say on my sports talk radio show, Buck, nobody hates death more than me. I hate death more than anybody on the entire planet. Because people will say, like, oh, you don't care about grandmas. Oh, you don't. Like, I wish everybody lived forever, okay? I am more in favor of immortality than anybody you've ever heard. I don't
this
want
is a very
anybody
brave
to ever
stand
die.
You're taking very, against death just, and against the Grim Reaper. We might, you know, we might lose some Grim Reaper listeners, Clay. You're a brave man.
I hate death more than anybody who has ever talked on the radio in the history of the world, all right? But data matters. And we can't stop death. The worst death of all is young children dying, right? And we have the data that 40,396 kids under 11 years old died in the past year. That's a tragedy for all those parents. That is an unbelievable, incredible difficulty, right? We wish that did not happen. But part of being an adult is recognizing how to assess risk. It's a huge part of being an adult. 40,396 people under 11 died since the start of 2020. Fewer than 200 of them are from COVID. That means if you are a kid out there or you have kids, I think these are important data points to share with kids I have to try to make them understand risk. There is a 99.5% chance that the kids who have died in America in the last year have died from something other than COVID. What percentage of the time that we have talked about kids have we spent focused on those under 200 deaths from COVID?
It's
more,
Clay,
mostly, seasonal flu deaths.
It's mostly not about protecting kids. It's hysterical adults who are terrified that they'll get infected by the kids who are demanding this stuff. It's the soy-drinking, CNN-watching, latte liberals who are, even after double-vaccinated and double-masked, they're worried that if they have to go into school or if they're near children somewhere, because remember, kids can't be vaccinated. So it's actually mostly hysterical adults, I think, that are the ones that are insisting the children be masked up, that because they can't actually, no one can look at those numbers. It's impossible to look at the numbers you've cited and say that you're really worried about kids from this. Although they're trying to run these stories about pediatric ICU wards are very small in terms of beds for good reason, obviously. So when they say, oh, my God, that's 100%. Well, if you went from 6 cases to 12 cases, yeah, that's bad. As we've discussed, it's a tragedy.
They're also run, Buck, to be always near 100%. It would make no financial sense for a hospital to have an ICU ward that is only 25% full. Like, they are run to be near capacity at all times.
Yeah. We got to throw a story here in the hopper, Clay, that we haven't gone to yet. We haven't mentioned it yet. And that is that the census data is in.
Which
means that the fight over gerrymandering is going to be underway. Now, remember, first rule of gerrymandering is that when Democrats do it, it's not gerrymandering. It's a good thing representing it. When Republicans do it, it's evil gerrymandering. Anyway, we'll get into this in a second, how absurd the debate will be over this. But first, you know, Apollo is Tommy John's newest and most advanced men's underwear yet, with a performance-grade dry-release fabric blend that is exclusive to Tommy John. It's Tommy John's latest comfort innovation, and you can't get it anywhere else. Apollo men's underwear is proven to keep you drier and up to 7 degrees cooler than regular cotton underwear. That's why Tommy John doesn't have customers, they have fanatics. Clay, you love it, I love it.
Yeah, Apollo underwear, soft, supportive, and stretches for the perfect fit every day. It's available up to size 4XL, over 15 million pairs sold. Men across America love Tommy John underwear because there's no more flopping, sticking, or chafing. Those things all stink. And like all Tommy John underwear, Apollo comes with the best pair you'll ever wear. It's free guarantee. Tommy John's new Apollo men's underwear is high-end for your rear end. You can't get them anywhere else. So right now, you can get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/ClayandBuck. Go to TommyJohn.com/ClayandBuck. For 20% off, TommyJohn.com/ClayandBuck.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We are on census data watch here to see when that... I know it's not, doesn't sound like the most exciting thing ever, but it'll turn into... There'll be some interesting macro-level stuff we'll see from this Census Bureau data coming out today. And it'll turn into a big fight over gerrymandering and redistricting, which, depending on where you are on the political aisle, is either gerrymandering or our democracy at work. And the shamelessness that the media will have on this is just, it'll be, well, actually, you expect that from them. So that's no surprise. But, you know, Clay, there's something else that I think is interesting right now, and that is when it comes to the economy, People are starting to figure out that, hey, hold on a second. When they said it was going to be like temporary inflation or a temporary worker shortage, what do they mean by temporary? When we talk about oil, gas prices going up, they said it was just a cyclical thing that, you know, no big deal. But I think people are starting to figure out that they've got bigger problems here. Jen Psaki telling everybody, oh, we don't want to actually get more oil out there.
Well, that wasn't an ask we made. The point we've made in these communications is that we do have the supply. We're not making a supply question here, or we're not posing a supply question domestically. Obviously, OPEC has its own unique role on the global marketplace. But we do also think that there should not be any price gouging at the pump when there is available oil. So that is what we are highlighting and marking out there.
Price gouging at the pump. I don't think Jen Psaki understands supply and demand.
We were energy independent, Buck. For generations, we have talked about not wanting to rely on OPEC and all of the Saudi Arabian oil producers and being able to create our own energy independence. And we were there. We were there, Buck. We had drilled, baby, drilled to the point where the United States, for the first time in most of our lives, was 100% energy independent.
Have you seen the most recent data as well? First of all, inflation is real. It is here. It is growing. It's going to get worse. No one wants to say it because it turns into a confidence game, right? Oh, no, it's not going to be that bad. You hope that somehow will make the economy continue to function better. And right, this all turns into a fear versus greed situation. But there were stats out today. I mean, I can find the exact numbers, but something like, you know, used cars are up 40% in cost. Oil, or, you know, price of gas per gallon, huge increase. Remember over 4th of July, Clay, when they said that you were saving like 0.04, like 4 pennies on your barbecue, your beer, or your boozy Mountain Dew in your case?
I got to try that. I got to try the boozy Mountain Dew. But yes, this is a real drain. And this is where real people, right, who are driving around in their car looking at gas prices and recognizing how much they are surging. And it is a direct hit on the pocketbooks of the American consumer. This is where inflation becomes a default tax increase. And this is also why I think the analogy of Joe Biden as Jimmy Carter 2.0 has some cogency for a lot of people out there. Because inflation, the last time it ran roughshod over the American economy, who was the president? Jimmy Carter. And I think we are in danger of going right back there all over again. 20 years ago, Buck, we had an incredible, difficult, unbelievable experience with 9/11. And we have got the Tunnel to Towers Foundation making sure that we never forget what our country went through. You can donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org, and you can help them take care of so many different people, including a catastrophically injured veteran who said, they gave me my life back, my freedom back, not just for myself, but for my family. As the 20th anniversary of 9/11 inches closer and closer, they are making sure that heroes are taken care of. 200 mortgage-free homes for Gold Star and fallen first responders with young children. They are making a tremendous difference, and you can help them to never forget by donating $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's t2t.org. Welcome back in. I am Clay Travis. He is Buck Sexton, and we are rolling through the Thursday edition of the program. Buck, I just got invited on CNN. I feel like we need the breaking news sounder.
I thought you were banned. Like, you know, you'd be arrested by Jeff Zucker's minions upon arrival in the building. Apparently, the lifetime ban no longer applies to Clay Travis for the B word situation.
The B word. I said I believed in only two things completely about 4 or 5 years ago: the First Amendment and booze. And
oh my gosh, you said it again. Get the bleep button.
And CNN banned me. And while we were on the air right now, I got an email from one of Chris Cuomo's producers I'll read it to you. I'm a producer on Chris Cuomo's show at CNN, and I hope this email finds you well. I'm reaching out regarding the use of masks in your school district to see if you might be interested in being a guest on our show tomorrow night to discuss your point of view. We're on from 9 to 10 Eastern. Kindly let me know if this might work for you, and we can go from there. Now, that's a nice email, right?
Yeah, look, that's totally professional. I wish you could go. We know you can't go because of Fox.
Yeah,
but it would be great.
Yeah, Fox, that would be a really fun event that would probably kill if they had cross-pollination Fox News and CNN, sort of like you went on rival shows for like a week, right?
Where Clay, it would be amazing. That's actually what political commentary media 10 years ago did have some of
that. Yes, that's right.
You know, people forget, you know, Bill O'Reilly used to
work at CNN.
I was a right-wing political commentator at CNN, and now that's when in the Trump era that broke them and they couldn't handle it anymore. But before that, yeah, you go on TV, and I would say stuff all the time. I mean, it would we'd get into huge fights. I did a lot of stuff about, I mean, the classic thing at CNN was I would go on air after some massive terrorist act, because I had just, you know, I'd worked at the CIA's counterterrorism center and actually knew this stuff, unlike a lot of the clowns they would put on to talk about it. And everybody at CNN, all of their people would be like, you know, this is what happens when X or Y country like doesn't do a good enough job of making its migrants feel comfortable or something. They would have some horrible take. And I'd be like, I don't know, I think we should defeat the bad guys and actually fight them. And they'd be like, how dare you? And they'd all flip out and everything else. CNN is crazy. But back in the day, you used to have people who could
diverse opinions.
Bill O'Reilly in the Fox News days used to have leftists on, and he would throw down with them all the time. And it was good TV. No one does this anymore. And I feel like there's an audience component to it, and there's obviously a host component to it. Why haven't we seen, here's a perfect example. Why haven't we seen a debate between Tucker Carlson and Rachel Maddow, for example, right? I think Tucker would do it, by the way, but like, what? MSNBC would never let that happen. Why?
I think it's a fantastic point. And look, I would go on Chris Cuomo's show and talk about why masks make no sense. I'm not allowed to do that because I'm a Fox employee, in the same way that CNN is not allowed to have any Fox employees. And I bet that I would have, if I had said I was going to do this, Buck, I bet that almost immediately I would have gotten shut down by, you know, they have to send in their list of guests that are going to be on the shows. And one of the executives would have like taken a pen and been like, yeah, this isn't happening. But I do think, well, the reason why I think that would be important is so many people live in media silos where they don't challenge whatever they believe. That there are huge, like we were talking about those numbers of kids that have died with COVID. The 200, under 200 kids have died with COVID compared to 40 some odd thousand who have died under the age of 11. That's data that everyone should have. I bet that almost no one at CNN or MSNBC has any idea those numbers are real. Like if you ask them how many kids 11 and under have died of COVID, they would have no clue. And so you have all these media silos where the truth doesn't get through. And that's why I would go on a network like CNN to say the same thing that I say to you guys on the radio show and on the television programs.
I would love to go on cable news and fight with leftists. I would do it all day, every day. When I first started out, they would put me on MSNBC and I would debate people, and then at CNN. But now they won't give me anybody to actually debate ever.
We would win. That's why.
And so you sit there and you say, well, how can people actually understand the strength or weakness of an argument? But you know, we're mentioning Cuomo and data. I want to try to do this thing where I like throw it all into one stew for a second.
Yes.
There's the other Cuomo, not bro Cuomo, but the former Gov Cuomo and the nursing home scandal, which we think we know everything we need to know. But Clay, I don't think we do. And neither does Nicole Malliotakis, who's a congresswoman here in Staten Island. Here's what she said about it.
I think it's incredibly important that we don't just accept resignation in lieu of accountability. And so I've been pushing the Assembly Judiciary Committee to pursue and continue its investigation, because they were looking at all facets of this. They were looking at the sexual harassment. They were looking at his directive to put COVID positive patients into the nursing homes with our most vulnerable, even when there were alternatives set up like the U.S. Navy comfort ship that President Trump sent to New York City. And also, by the way, the $5 million book deal that he used state time, employees, and tax dollars to write. So I think that the Assembly Judiciary Committee must move forward with this.
It's not over, Clay. It's not over. Just because the guy left doesn't mean there aren't still answers. But here's the thing. In the same way that they're going after DeSantis with everything they've got to try to destroy him, even if they have to inflate numbers, misrepresent things, the apparatus of Democrat control is reliant upon people not really understanding how disastrous COVID response in New York, New Jersey, and Massachusetts in particular have been. They don't want to dig into this.
No, and again, it goes to data, right? We can all have, my mom liked to say when I was a kid, opinions are like butts, everybody's got one.
I'm pretty sure else said that before your mom, but yeah.
She probably did.
I don't think she came up with that first,
but it's a good mom line, right? Get your attention when you're a young kid, makes you aware. The inability to distinguish between fact and opinion in American society today is at an endemic level. It is everywhere that people can't distinguish between the two. And it's important because you can't have good opinions unless you have reliable facts to cite. And so knowing what the data shows us can help to drive our response. And that's why I've been so favorably impressed by Ron DeSantis, because he's smart enough to trust his ability to understand data. And what you find, Buck, and you know this to be true, in media and in politics, there's a lot of sheep. There's a lot of people looking around to go and follow someone else, even people in high positions of power. And a lot of governors decided to shrink from this this challenge of COVID. Others, like DeSantis, looked at the data and said, let us guide it. Let that guide us. And it's still staggering to me how few people are actually looking at the data. And we need to, when we come back, we said we were going to talk about this earlier. We need to talk about the data on defund the police and what it has meant in Chicago, as rapidly everybody is running from this, including Mayor Lori Lightfoot, who just had the entire police department around her turn their backs as she was trying to address them. It's a big deal. And we need to make sure our audience is aware of the data that's going on there. In the meantime,
speaking
Mike
of deals,
Lindell,
Clay.
Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. In the meantime, speaking of data, Mike Lindell is the inventor of MyPillow and his team. They have fit us for our own pillows and introduced us to their ever growing list of incredible products. We got everything. You got it in your house, Buck. You got it in your 600 square foot apartment.
Settle down, King Clay. All right. We're hoping to get to 650 next year.
We got it in the Travis mansion here. We got towel sets, slippers, robes, mattress toppers, Giza sheets, pretty much everything. You can trust Mike Lindell to help give you a great night's sleep. And right now, he's offering the sell of the year on the Giza Dream Sheets. They're on the Travis family beds. They're on your bed, Buck. They are fantastic. Best cotton, ultra soft. And what right now can you take advantage of when it comes to the Giza Dream
this
Sheets?
This is the sale of the year. And I'm just going to tell you this. Try these sheets. They'll be the best sheets you've ever had. They're the best sheets I've ever had.
They're incredible.
I even used to get some of that expensive department store stuff.
I like the feeling on my skin.
You know, I was one of those guys. Giza Dream Sheets, better. Plus, Mike Lindell is a great American, a patriot who stands up against cancel culture. So don't support some multinational corporation that spits on your values. Go with Mike Lindell, My Pillow. He's all about America and giving you the best sheets ever. For a limited time, the Giza Dream Sheets are 50% off. Half price, folks, with promo code Clay and Buck. All My Pillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on Radio Listener Specials to get the Giza Dream Sheets as low as $49.99 with code Clay and Buck. Or call 800-792-3269. That's 800-792-3269. Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Buck here, and we're about to talk to you about Chicago's Mayor Lori Lightfoot and how she is, not only is she not in favor of defunding the police anymore, she's actually saying that, in fact, she will be putting more money behind law enforcement in the next budget. I don't think anybody's even a little surprised by this who lives in reality.
Oh, by the way, also, Trump claimed to know. Clay, do you see this? This is up on BuckSexton.com. Trump claims to know the name of the police officer who shot Ashley Babbitt.
I saw you tweet that out. Yeah. I was intrigued by it. I mean, certainly we talked about the wrongful death lawsuit that's been filed in her case, and that the fact that whoever the shooter was would eventually be named as a part of that lawsuit to figure out exactly why he made the decision.
We're going
to
know pretty soon. Interesting from Trump. That's up at BuckSexton.com. But here's Lori Lightfoot right now, the mayor of Chicago, saying, oh, yeah, no, there's going to be more money for cops in the next budget.
Police department budget will increase. No question. We have to. We have to make sure that we are continuing to provide resources to recruit the next generation of police officers, and in particular, make sure that we're doing that recruitment in a way that reflects the diversity of our city.
I mean, Clay, yeah, of course. Of course this is what should be done. The fact that Democrats, we talk about political leadership. I mean, if you're not willing to stand against the currents of the mob demanding that there be not only, remember, defund the police isn't just about the actual money behind law enforcement. It's about whether prosecutors are going to go after cops for doing their jobs in good faith. It's about whether prosecutors are going to go after the bad guys for attacking cops because, you know, they don't look like they're too harsh on them. It's about the DOJ doing consent decrees, investigating police departments for alleged racism. That's all part of this deep. So it's just handcuffing the cops so they can't handcuff the bad guys.
It's also about the culture that you create in your communities of disrespect that exists for police. And that, to me, is the very essence of the difficulty that our police officers go through on a day-to-day basis. Because if you go back and you look at every single interaction that turns violent between police and the people that they are trying to protect, almost every single one of them, if the person that was being investigated by police had complied with police instructions, would have never happened. Almost every single one of them, just comply with police instructions. I had this conversation with my kids on a regular basis. Just did it again recently. In the car, got a long drive. We were going to East Tennessee to visit with the in-laws. And I was talking with my oldest, who's 13. He's an eighth grader.
How was the in-law visit, by the way? How'd that go?
The in-law visit went pretty well. What's wild, biggest upset in the 17 years nearly that I've been married to my wife is I have gone from the least favored person of my mother-in-law to maybe her favorite person in the whole family. Like, I kid my wife all the time that her mom likes me more than she likes
Clay,
her own daughter.
Your humility is the stuff of legends.
Oh, so. I mean, it is. There's no one who is more humble than me. But it is the most amazing comeback story of all time, at least in our relationship, that I have gone from detested by my mother-in-law to now more beloved than her own daughter. But it was a great visit because I have one of the best mothers-in-law in the world because she has great taste in her sons-in-law. But I was in the car with my kids, Buck, and in particular my 13-year-old who's about to be an eighth grader and is starting to get out on his own a little bit more, right? Like, you know, as you get eighth grade, ninth grade, 10th grade, you start to have a little bit more. And we were talking about, he was asking me about the defund the police in the car, because he's learning about, he's the debater, he's learning these different topics, and that was one of the topics they were debating. And I said, hey, before we talk about the idea of defunding the police, there's a big lesson here. When a police officer tells you to do something, do it. Do it! And I think that's something that parents out there all should be teaching their kids, because I said, look, your dad is a lawyer. If a police officer behaves inappropriately and you get investigated in a way that you shouldn't at some point, we can file a lawsuit. We can have a Fourth Amendment case about whether or not the evidence is admissible or whatever. One, don't get in trouble, right? But two, do what a police officer says. And I don't know how many parents actually have this conversation with their kids, but just comply. And there's virtually a 0% chance of your family ever having an issue with a police officer.
Isn't it amazing that we're teaching kids now to comply with a cloth over their face in school because that's going to save the people next to them, prevent them from maybe even committing murder, if you listen to that woman from the council in Oklahoma, council in Oklahoma, and that they have to have plexiglass around them to I mean, that's of all the things, that's maybe the absolute dumbest. It's all the foot markings and elevators and, you know, this is where you put your feet for social distancing.
And don't face, like, that's, I saw Ali, our producer, said people have to face opposite directions in some, like, elevators.
That's,
they want
actually
you to face
new.
Towards
I mean,
the wall.
I mean, actually, that was really dumb. You get into the list, you start to remember how stupid so much of this is. Remember when they started putting circles in the grass in public parks? To show you how to social distance in a park?
Yeah. I mean, not everywhere. New York, that was a big deal.
That was a big deal. Yeah, I know. Look, it's gotten completely out of control and crazy, but it is true that they teach kids this stuff in school. But if you were to say, hey, we should do a module on, I mean, there are a few modules I think should be taught to kids at a pretty young age. Basic personal finance would be one. Dealing with law enforcement would be another.
Just comply. Just do what a police officer says. I don't know how many other parents have this conversation.
This is a very police-friendly and law-abiding audience.
I'm not saying that you should just completely assume that everything that you're being told is 100% constitutional. I'm a lawyer, but I am saying all of those issues can be litigated afterwards. If you escalate a situation where it turns violent, it's an unbelievable error of judgment of the initial person who's being asked questions. It's just, I'm blown away that we don't talk more about it.
Well, anyway, Lori Lightfoot is going to have more funding for cops. She learned the lesson, it seems, after the terrible year Chicago had with violence and the increase in shootings. We're going to be revisiting here with what is going to happen in more states as these mask mandates get tighter and more serious. Is there going to be more pushback from New York City restaurants from the vaccine mandate? I got to tell you, I got a problem here, folks. If you live in New York, if you live in a place that requires the vax, what are you going to do? Dive into some of this coming up with my man Clay Travis in just a minute.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.